The late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., shows a negative drug test result as he denies he is the presidential aspirant allegedly hooked on narcotics. Later on in the program, we launch a new voter education segment in focus this week. The presidential aspirations of boxing champion-turned-senator Manny Pacquiao and labor leader Lloyd de Guzman as we talk to their campaign spokespersons. And regulators summon telecommunication companies over the spread of spam messages offering fake jobs. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the midday news, the late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., submits a negative drug test result to authorities. That's as President Rodrigo Duterte doubles down on his claim about a presidential candidate supposedly using cocaine. Marcos said he took a cocaine test at a hospital Monday, and the negative result was submitted this morning to the Philippine Drug Enforcement Agency, the Philippine National Police, and the National Bureau of Investigation. Marcos also confident he's not the one being alluded to in Duterte's recent tirades. Marcos's statement comes after Duterte stood by his allegations about an unnamed presidential candidate whom he said was a cocaine user.
Totoo yan. There's a candidate who was using cocaine. And you can ask yung mga mayaman. And sabi ng police, bakit hindi natin hinuli? Bakit hindi mo hinuli, Presidente? Hindi mo alam ang mga mayaman. They go on a yate or in the air. Doon niya sila magsop-sop ng ano nila. If you do not believe it, well, leave it that way. Basta sinabi ko, do not let it not be said later on that I did not tell you.
The Philippine National Police, meanwhile, begins its investigations into Duterte's claims.
At the end of the day, may privilege, may presidential information yan. Ano? Mm-hmm. Ang effort namin is to be able to see, validate, kung after validation, pakita natin kung this is a subject, can be a subject for operation, and then kung validated yan, tingnan natin.
Duterte's presidential bet, Senator Bongo, keeping mum on the chief executive's attack on one of his opponents for the country's top post. Last week, Duterte went on the offensive against the late dictator's son and his daughter's running mate, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Duterte described Marcos Jr. as a weak leader and a spoiled son. But Go maintains his camp is not targeting the former senator.
Wala pong ganong usapan. No comment na po ako. Kandidato po ako at hindi ko po ugali na manira ng kapwa ko kandidato.
Former Police Chief Guillermo Eleazar vows to strengthen the police force's Internal Affairs Service if he wins a Senate seat next year. The IAS was envisioned to be an independent and autonomous unit within the PNP, dedicated to investigating erring policemen. It's the same agency that gave the Justice Department access to documents of dozens of drug war operations that have resulted in the death of suspects. But it has yet to submit thousands more cases for review.
Dapat meron siyang sort of independence, mas malaking budget na separate para sa kanila. Okay. At hindi lang siya yung recommendatory na yung IAS maging disciplinary authority din sila na ang power nila is hindi basta-basta na influence ng PNP.
The The Philippines logged 984 new COVID infections Monday. Three labs were not able to submit data. 218 deaths were also reported, taking the number of active cases down to just 19,000. That's the lowest since June of 2020. Still, the health department is appealing to the public to keep following health protocols to avoid a COVID resurgence currently being experienced in other countries.
Assuming magkaroon ng pagtaas in the next few days, the reason for this could be increased social mobility. We're down to alert level 2, and we have expanded capacity. Under alert level 2, you have 50% indoor capacity.
One of the major difference siguro, nung nag-relax sila ng restrictions, pati yung minimum public health standards like wearing of mask and the other restrictions, tinanggal nila. Dito naman sa atin, nakita natin na yung behavior ng ating mga kababayan ay nag-i-improve na in terms of wearing of mask, frequent hand washing, tsaka yung physical distancing natin.
A party list group files administrative cases against Cebu Governor Gwen Garcia over her administration's pandemic response. In their complaint before the ombudsman, the San Lucas party list claimed Garcia should be charged with gross neglect of duty and grave misconduct. San Lucas claims the Cebu provincial government underused its COVID-19 budget, resulting in its failure to expand medical facilities and delays in vaccine purchases. The group adds they want to make sure the alleged unallocated budget wouldn't be spent on Garcia's re-election bid. Garcia has yet to comment on those allegations. The Senate Blue Ribbon Committee rejects a former Philippine budget official's request to reconsider the arrest order against him. The Senate panel had ordered former PSDBM head Christopher Lau arrested after being cited in contempt for snubbing the past four hearings into government's pandemic supply deals. In a letter to senators, Lau claims he had been treated like a criminal without rights. Lau adds he is more than willing to attend the probe again, but only in a non-hostile environment. Blue Ribbon Committee Chairman Richard Gordon, however, shut down Lau's motion. The Philippine government creates its own rating system to evaluate the country's pandemic response. The new scorecard was created by the National Economic Development Authority after the Philippines rated poorly in COVID-19 indices of Bloomberg and Nikkei Asia. But NEDA still gave the country a low rating. Based on scores for September and October, the Philippines rated a 4 out of the highest possible score of 9. The scorecard has three sub-indices covering infection management, vaccine rollout, and socioeconomic recovery.
Our key observations is that, one, there have been considerable progress in the implementation of the NAP Phase 4. And the biggest improvement is in terms of the vaccine rollout and then followed by infection management. And third, we do expect another increase actually in November because of the progress in most indicators.
The National Privacy Commission has summoned telecommunication networks following a recent spate of scam text messages offering fake jobs. The meeting is set this week. Globe Telecom, meanwhile, says spam messages became rampant during the pandemic and that they were usually sent using overseas numbers. It admits the leaked data may have come from different sources, including social media, making it harder to track. But it says the possibility of information being gathered from contact tracing sheets in establishments is unlikely.
Hindi katulad dati, pansin nyo, di ba, halimbawa, kunyari, magsa-sign up ka sa service online, etc., di ba, email address. Yes. Di ba, dati nun, maraming email spam. Di ba, pag may email spam naman, di ba, hindi naman tayo nagagalit kay Yahoo sa kay Google. Eh, ngayon ho, hindi na email address kasi yung primary, di ba? Kapag nagsusubscribe ka ngayon, cellphone number, correct. Hindi na ho masyado usang website. Lahat po, mobile apps na. Yun naman, hindi lang nga sa Facebook nang gagaling. Ang dami na ho nating sinasign upan, di ba, ng mga online services. So talagang, kumbaga dati noon, yung mga digital marketers, di ba nga, ang hina-harvest talaga nilang database, email address, or nung araw, nung 80s, di ba? Home address, kung ano-ano mga nakukuha natin mga letters, di ba, sa mail. Eh, ngayon ho talaga, ang hina-harvest, mobile numbers na talaga.
Globe has so far blocked 71 million messages following complaints from its users. The Senate approves a motion to recall the proposed budget of the Philippine Sports Commission. This following the controversy involving pole vaulter EJ Obiena and the Philippine Athletics Track and Field Association, or PATAFA. The Olympian has denied PATAFA's allegations he did not pay his coach some 85,000 euros and that he falsified his liquidation reports. But PATAFA said it intends to pursue its investigation into Obiena. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And take a break now. Up ahead, we'll take a closer look at the race to Malacañang on our new voter education segment, In Focus. Mimo Osmeña of Comedy Party and Sunny Melencho of the Partido ng Lakas ng Masa will join us after the break as we put the spotlight on the presidential bids of Senator Manny Pacquiao and Labor Leader Leody de Guzman. Stay with us. You're on Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., shows a negative drug test result as he denies he is the presidential aspirant allegedly hooked on narcotics. And regulators summon telecommunication companies over the spread of spam messages offering fake jobs. Back with more news. According to recent surveys, economic issues remain top of mind of voters in the upcoming elections. But as RJ Cruz tells us, an expert believes it will all come down to a battle of personalities.
Sammy Lagman has been selling mango shake near the Batasan Pambansa. It's his means of livelihood to support his kids and his parents, which has become harder due to the pandemic. Sammy dreams of a better life, which is why he keeps carrying on despite the hardships.
Una-una, kailangan medyo makaluwag ako sa buhay para ang mabigyan ko naman kinabukasan ng aking pamilya. Na yun ang pangarap ko. Ligtas kami sa sakit. At saka sa anuman sakuna, sana gabayan kami ni Lord. At nagsusumikap naman kami tulong-tulong para sa pamilya.
His story seems to be the story of many Filipinos. Based on three polls done by Pulse Asia, inflation topped the most urgent national concerns on the years before the 2022 elections and two other elections prior. Analysis by the ABS-CBN Investigative and Research Group on polls done by Pulse Asia back in September 2021, December 2015, and October 2009, months before presidential elections, shows that the urgent national concerns have stayed the same for the last 18 years. That's inflation, income inequality, alleviation of poverty, job creation, and graft and corruption. For this expert, it only goes to show there has been no significant change from several years ago.
Before the pandemic, while the economy has been growing, it has not trickled down to most Filipinos such that they still felt that they needed to have a better job, to have a better livelihood. They probably have a job already, but they feel that they need to work more to augment their income.
This year's poll, however, showed curbing the pandemic landed in near third place behind inflation and income inequality. For Pulse Asia President Ronald Holmes, the pandemic is part of the larger issue of the economy. But curbing graft and corruption also remains a concern. Human rights in the context of the war on drugs and sovereignty in the West Philippine Sea among voters. Holmes also points out candidates tend to say the same things when asked to address the country's concerns.
They will all say that they will attend to these issues. The only difference is really in terms of the strategies. So it would be detrimental to anyone who is running for president to be against a specific position vis-a-vis this issue.
Which is why it will still come down to a battle of personalities.
Pare-pareho lang ang posisyon ng mga kandidato. Doon sa pinagkaiba nila sa panahon ng botante, yun ang pagbabatayan ng botante sa kanyang desisyon. Iisa lang posisyon nila at pare-pareho sila. It might be the personality of the candidate rather than their stance on issues. You cannot exclude the possibility that voters basically favor a candidate based on their perception that this candidate would do well or that this candidate appears to be much more authentic or genuine compared to the other candidates.
Or whoever connects with as many people.
Ang unang pagbabatayan ng kanilang connection sa kandidato ay kung pareho sila, and ito yung napapatunayan ng mga dating mapag-aaral, kung pare-pareho silang pinanggalingan in terms of yung ethno-linguistic group. So kung pare-pareho silang nagsasalta ng Bisaya, kung Ilocano, Bicolano, may inclination na iboboto nila yung kapareho nilang pinanggalingan, yung geographical or yung ethno-linguistic ties na sinasabi.
Holmes says that a battle of personalities cannot be avoided because the country's political system is candidate-centered, where it's a matter of who instead of what policies earn the most number of votes. RG Cruz, ABS-CBN News.
They're principals, both parliamentarians. While one is a sitting senator, the other is a parliamentarian of the streets. And both are now vying for the highest position of the land. How are presidential candidates Senator Manny Pacquiao and Lodi de Guzman going to get the votes to their side? Let's examine their path to the presidency. In focus today for Carl Lodi, Sunny Melencho, chairperson of Partido Lakas ng Masa, and representing Senator Manny Pacquiao, Mimo Osmeña, chairman of PROMD. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Tuka.
Thank you.
All right, so I want to start off with this question. Mimo, you go first. How long have you known your candidate?
Personally, I've known Manny for about 8 months on a personal basis. Other than that, everybody's been following his career for years.
Mm. And because it's only been 8 months, are you confident that you already know what's fueling him, what makes him tick, what is going to make him win this elections?
I have a good understanding because I've spent a lot of time personally with him. In fact, it was my father, the late Governor Lito Osmeña, who started the discussions with him, and they may have known each other for a longer period. I was more or less the right-hand man of my father, who began the discussions with Senator Manny Pacquiao. Unfortunately, my father got COVID and passed away, so I've taken over since then.
Yeah, our condolences on the passing of your father. I just want to get that in. But right now, I want to talk to Sunny Melencho. Sunny, how long have you known Carl Lodi?
Kasama ko siya mula pa nung 90s. Mula pa nung sa Buklura ng Manggagawang Pilipino. That's basically the federation binuo ni kasamang Popoy Lagman. And Lodi de Guzman was one of the leaders noon pa. So, talagang kilala ko yung personalidad niya, yung mga tindig niya sa maraming issue, at yung kanyang sincerity, at talagang daladala niya yung puso ng manggagawa. At I think this time, itong manggagawa naman is not just a slogan, it's a sentiment ng marami na rin mga tao na nakikita ko.
At dahil Sunny, matagal mong kilala itong si Carl Lodi, what makes you think that he is going to be a good leader for the country? That he is going to be the leader that the country needs?
Siya ay talagang ang kanyang puso na sa manggagawa, na sa mahihirap. And basically doon kami nagsama. At alam ko yung mga tindig niya. So yung mga policies na sinasabi niya, na ire-reverse niya, yung mga patakarang nagpapayaman lalo doon sa mayayaman, nagpapahirap sa mayayaman, like the rice tarification law, the contractualization, yung need for an anti-contractualization law. Those are basic demands ng mamamayan na daladala ni Carl Lodi at ipinaglalaban namin sa matagal na panahon sa iba't ibang organisasyon, and we have formed several coalitions of people's organizations, trade unions, social movements, at itong mga platforma na aming binuo ay nanggaling dyan. So alam namin na ito ilalaban namin sa Kongreso, ilalaban namin sa Executive, ilalaban namin sa kalye. Hindi kami titigil hanggat hindi nakukuha ang mga ito.
Mimo, let me go to you now. What do you think are the reasons why Senator Pacquiao is the leader that the country needs?
Well, first of all, Manny may not be as articulate as many people, but he has an innate ability to understand the actual needs of the country. And his policies and plans are actually quite in sync with what PROMDI stands for, the devolution. And this began back in 1997. Unfortunately, not much of it was implemented. And Manny is pushing for this. And this is actually one of the solutions that would be, that wouldn't follow the traditional or current situation and allow for changes to happen in a quicker manner, although there's a 30 to 50 year plan Manny's putting together for the whole country.
You mentioned that his vision is in sync with what PROMDI has been standing for the past years. Was that a problem to begin with? Because we know the history, the recent history here. He was with PDP Laban. He was being groomed as a standard bearer. And then came the bombshell that he filed under PROMDI. So did this in sync, this being in sync happen belatedly because he chose to run under PROMDI? Or were there really talks to begin with that this is going to be the vehicle that he's going to take?
Well, if you look at things historically, my father was one of the supporters of the Duterte administration. He was one of the early people who supported President Duterte. And that's because of their move for federalism. And federalism is one of the solutions that follows from this platform, which is the devolution. So, again, if you look at that, we're talking about the past 5-6 years that the ideals have been in sync.
Mm. But when you talk about your principal, he hasn't really been known as the person that stands up for federalism. It's not synonymous. Go ahead.
Federalism in itself is not the ultimate solution. I mean, you've got to be more specific. Like, when you look at devolution, what we mean is to decentralize the government and give the power back to the lower levels of local government units, in other words, to the barangay. As we say in Bisaya, sila ay magatubang sa mga tao. Mm. Because they're the front. And Manny's personal belief, his ideal values, is really to help the lowest levels. And this is one solution where if you bring the frontliners and give the frontliners the resources and the authority, that they can meet the challenge much better than a centralized system of government where everybody makes decisions in the capital region.
Sunny, let me go back to you. You know, when you look at the recent surveys, both your candidates are showing quite poorly. To what would you attribute this? Bakit nagkakaganito ang mga numero ni Kalyodi, Sunny?
Well, I think this is the first time. I think this is what... Itong pagtakbo ni Kalyodi, yung pagtakbo namin, meaning like almost a complete slate, na kinokontest na namin yung mga top post of government. This is the first time that we're doing it. So I think we're faced with the big problems like personality-oriented yung ating politika. And not only personality-oriented, it's controlled by political dynasties. A major problem that we see today. Hindi nawawala yan. At nagkakapagbuo pa tayo ng mga bago. They control the entire government. So we're faced with that. But still at the same time, we see that we're beginning to have traction, especially among the people. Kaya nga nabanggit ko kanina, yung aming sinasabing manggagawa naman, it is not just a slogan, it's a sentiment. Kasi nakita naman ng mga tao, magpalit-palit ka ng mga presidente, ng sinong namumuno sa itaas, the same problems exist. At nahandyan, nakita na rin sa survey, yung problema ng kahirapan, yung problema ng joblessness, and then yung political dynasty, yung control sa atin ng mga foreign investors. We're faced with that. And And pero at the same time, meron kaming nakikita na pagbabago, especially in this election.
Mm.
And not only in the Philippines actually, because we also look at the experiences ng mga Latin American countries where Lula ran 3 times before he became the president, where this Peru president, a public school teacher, ran a number of times, Evo Morales. So I think we're going along that route. We're building a base. Mm. We're building a critical mass. It is not just for election. It is also for pursuing our goals and our platform that can be for the benefit of the masses, not for the few.
So is that the same as saying that, you know, this run in the 2022 elections is really just about building that base and you're not necessarily in it to win it?
No, because basically we break down the yung components of winning. What are the components of winning? And we've been discussing it among ourselves. One of it, the major aspect, is building coalitions. And I think we're starting to build more and more coalitions. We have coalitions with Laban ng Masa, for instance, a broad network. We have coalitions with the green environment movements. We have coalition on the democratic, on movements fighting for democratic rights, human rights. And we have coalition with several people's organizations, organizations that are independent of the traditional politicians. And I think this type of coalitions is important for us to win. We will also be joining some form of alliances with other human rights and democracy defenders, even belonging to other slips.
Mimo, let me go back to you. Sunny a while ago mentioned that, you know, that's the lay of the land. It's personality-oriented when you talk about Philippine politics. But your case is kind of curious. How big of a personality is Senator Manny Pacquiao? There's no other bigger personality out there, and yet the poor showing in surveys. How would you explain that?
Well, there are several factors that are involved. First of all, yes, he is a global personality. In fact, I used to joke that if elections were held today, who would be president of the world? He would probably get the most votes because a lot of people all over the world know him. As far as political strategy is concerned, that's a different issue. And traditionally, you also don't want your candidate to be top rating in the beginning. You want him to peak at a later stage. You've seen this in historical elections in the past. So there's the political strategy, and then there are individual tactics. And what changes is tactics. And nowadays, because of technology and what's happening and the pandemic, people have to adapt. So there is no rush. Actual campaigning doesn't start till officially February 8th. Mm. So technically, we haven't started campaigning.
Mm. All right. But in terms of strategy, a lot of people are already saying a lot of things about that. First of which is the observation that, you know, there seems to be some confusion in the way you're presenting your principle. You talk about a champion boxer here. That's his very persona. That's what endeared him to the public. And yet you're presenting him as a politician. There's that disconnect. And maybe that also is contributing to the poor showing. What are your thoughts regarding that?
Well, there's a lot of factors that people don't really know. I mean, it's not just Manny as a boxer. I mean, he started out, his history starting out as somebody who was extremely poor. He was an entrepreneur. He started his own small business. He grew it. Then he got into boxing and became popular. So he's known for his boxing career. He's been in politics for probably about 11 years. So he's got some track record there as well. People don't really know the details of what he was able to accomplish during that period. And he's passed several bills and he's done some development work. In fact, his own personal housing projects that he wants to continue with the help of government resources in order to provide that for the whole country. And people don't understand that. So it's a matter of dissemination of information. In fact, in the next few months, you will be seeing a lot of that. It's a dissemination of the information of who he is as a person, as a whole, as a holistic approach, not just the boxer, not just a politician, but also the entrepreneur, also a person of God and his experiences in business. Mm.
Let's get into that right now. Sunny, let me go back to you. When you talk about, you know, mapping out how you're going to win this election, how much of the campaign is your principal involved in? Nakikisama ba si Calyodi sa pagplano at siya ba ang kumukumpas ng kampanya ninyo?
Yes, kasama siya. Marami kaming mga campaign managers because we're sort of a broad coalition. So even the San Lakas, which is, you know, filed the case in Cebu, they're part of our coalition. So meron kaming mga joint campaign teams at meron kaming mga discussion na ginagawa, especially on platform because we want to see na itong problema natin ay ma-resolve, hindi lang yung palaging pangako, hindi lang yung mga puladas, kundi meron talaga tayong concrete platform and how to solve the problem of unemployment, how to solve the problem of rising prices, and all that stuff. Kaya yung mga nilalabas ni Calyodi na plataforma, it's a platform that comes from our base.
Yeah.
Like question of the wealth tax. Meaning, marami kasing pangako eh, pero saan kukunin ang pera? Kami nag-push na ng platform na kunin natin yan sa wealth tax doon sa mayayaman. Sa at least yung 300 families lang, at 3% na sa kanilang network, we can get a trillion pesos na magagamit natin for all the social projects that we need to do. And then, of course, the debt, yung cancellation of debt, that's also a big chunk. 40% of our budget talagang inilalaan sa pagbabayad niyan. Why not itigil yan para matugunan natin? Hindi yung puro pangako. Bigyan natin ng concrete na solusyon na batayan, saan kukunin ang pera at paano ito gagamitin. And I'm also nagre-react din ako sa mga position na parang may knee-jerk reaction that the only solution to our economic problem is to get more foreign investors or to cut the tax rate.
Mm-mm.
It's not so. You have to study kung ano ang impact niyan. Kasi may mga study na pag ginawa mo yan, kung meron ka pang, yung De La Salle study for instance, kung meron ka pang tax incentives doon sa mga corporations like tax holidays na nahandyan pa at saka maliit na pagbabayad ng tax, lalo mong pinaliit yung makukuhang revenues ng gobyerno.
Mm.
At saka itong mga kanilang ipinasok ng pera, it has to be reinvested. Kung hindi ito nire-reinvest at inilalagay nila sa kanilang holding companies at inilalabas ng bansa, like formally, we have a big problem.
And when you, I'm sorry to cut you there, Sunny, but as you're speaking, you were showing video of Calyodi talking to prospective voters. And as he continues to do that, what's the reception that you've been getting? Naiintindihan ba nila itong plataforma ninyo, itong mga issue na tingin nyo ay ang dapat maging central issue sa kampanya at sa eleksyon?
Yes, I think so. Kasi lalo na ngayon mga union ang aming mini meeting and the whole union members they have mass meetings and we explain the platform, of course yung mga major na aspect ng platform like yung sinabi ko sa wealth tax, yung sa debt cancellation and yung anti-contractualization, yung wage increase ng 750 pesos, yung pagbuwag ng regional wage boards para immediately matulungan natin yung mahihirap. That the masses, the people, easily understand.
Okay, we're going to go now. Sorry to cut you there. I have to go to Mimo now. Mimo, how much of your campaign is Manny Pacquiao? I mean, talk to us about the involvement that he has into the day-to-day, the operations, where the campaign should go, and strategizing as well.
Yeah, there are actually two different divisions of work. One is the strategizing and tactical implementation of the political campaign. The second is the strategy of the management later on of government.
Mm-hmm.
So Manny has his own team. He's got a big campaign team, as you can understand, led by the campaign manager, Buddy Zamora. They're Manila-based. And then you've got a network all over the country, and they're all coordinating. Romney has a lot of local candidates as well, so we have to coordinate with them. We do have an organization in place. This organization, many of the members have existed since, have been around since 1997. I'm focused more on the economic strategy, the future, the out-of-the-box solutions that we need to do in order for Manny to be able to achieve his target for the masses, for most of the Filipino, and to really change his country over a long period. It cannot be done in one term of one president. It's got to be done over 5-10 different presidents. We have to look at the future, the next generation. It's not about us anymore.
Is he the type who micromanages?
No, he's not, actually, which is really good. I mean, he gives us the objective and then gives us some suggestions and then leaves it at that.
So he just leaves it up to you?
Pretty much, as long as he meets, as long as we meet the objectives that he set.
Okay, talking about those objectives now, what do you think are the issues that are at play here? I mean, we just ran a report before we got you on air talking about, as Sunny mentioned a while ago, year after year, elections after elections, the issues remain the same. But I want to know if that's aligned with what you think the issues are at play here. Let me go first to Mimo. Top three issues that you think are at play in this elections.
You're absolutely right that the issues have not changed. It's the solutions that need to be changed. And we have actually, Romney has actually proven it to work. Like you're saying, we don't have budget. How do we cap taxes? How do we bring in investment? How do we create jobs? How do we alleviate poverty? Well, look at the history. Look at what Romney did in Cebu. Dad was, when Dad was governor, when Lito Osmeña was governor, he didn't have the budget from the national government. He didn't have to generate taxes. He took the assets of government, which is the innate advantage of government, and converted a golf course into the Ayala Business Center, one of the prime business centers now in Cebu. Look at the thousands of jobs it generated. Look at the funds that it created for the province. Never before had the province, until today, they're still benefiting from it. So government can do this. We can do it by example because we have done it in Cebu.
Sunny, over to you. Oh, what do you think are the issues at play? What do the voters really want?
I think I agree with the survey made by ABS-CBN, which is basically the economy, or the sorry state of our economy. And then the question of the pandemic, or also the performance of the government in terms of the against the problem, crisis, and pandemic. And then the question of graft and corruption. I just would like to say that these are, in a way, issues that are, it appears. It is what it is, but basically it's also deeply rooted in some other problems. And I think that's also what we are trying to do. Like in terms of graft and corruption, totoo yan, this is a big problem. But this problem will continue to exist as long as we have political dynasties. Because there have been studies about the political dynasties. And I also implore Manny Pacquiao, for instance, that he makes a stand on political dynasty and dismantle the dynasty that he has set up over a few years, like the brother and the other brother and himself. And these are fat dynasties because, according to the study made by the Asian Institute of Management, fat dynasties have two or more families occupying government posts, like the Dutertes, from president to mayor to another to vice mayor and then another congressman. You know, if you have that kind of situation and it's replicated all over the country, according to the study itself, poverty is basically directly correlated with it.
Okay, so how do you intend to win the voters' hearts and minds? I mean, we just ran that survey again, and once again, it shows that all things being equal, all the issues remain the same. Again, at the end of the day, it's about personality politics and how these personalities will establish that connection with the voter. So, Mimo, what's the game plan here? How do you intend to win the voters' hearts and minds?
It's simple. You just have to connect with them. You have to find a way to show them that your candidate is really sincere, he really wants change, and he's somebody who understands. The way we say it here is kinasing-kasing, somebody who has their situation and can actually empathize with them and be compassionate about it. And that's what we're trying to drive.
But if he's not making any connection now, as evidenced by the poor showing in surveys, what makes you think that he will be able to establish that connection later on?
Again, dissemination of information. It's getting people to understand. It's how to translate and explain it in such a way that they can understand. And the surveys, I mean, I've done my own analysis of the surveys. It's not perfect. Let's just put it that way.
Sunny, over to you. You did say a while ago that it's not a campaign slogan. It's the reality. Manggagawa naman. But the reality also is that the elite is still in power. So what makes you think that you even stand a chance?
Well, we're not appealing to the elite. We're appealing to the masses. And while we explain to them the issues, we're trying also for everyone to understand why all these things are happening and keep on happening. And we believe that we are sort of touching base. Minsan is also very easy for us to say, why do we have laws such as rice certification law? Why do we don't have laws against a political dynasty? Why do we have a value-added tax as high as 12%? Why do they continue to paliitin pa ang sahod ng mga manggagawa while the big ones are, you know, even in times of pandemic ay ang laki-laki ng tinutubo. I think people understand that, and then we put forward our views on how to change it. Some of these problems are actually structural and may need structural solution. But then, of course, we have immediate problems that need immediate attention. So that's why we said this budget, like the NTFL cut, you know, a budget against insurgency, which is 19 billion this year, should be put to good use. It should be used for the health workers, for the workers themselves, and workers should have the capacity to survive. And I think, yeah.
Okay, finally, we have a few minutes left, but I do want to ask you this final question. I'm going to start off with Sunny and then go to Mimo. Let's talk about the path to the presidency now. What is the clearest path for Kalyodi to the presidency? So far, we're only talking about the labor sector here. Is that the only sector that you are going to concentrate on, and that's going to be the path to the presidency for Kalyodi? Sunny.
It's not just the labor sector, because we have alliances too among the environment movements, the social movements, women, the LGBTQ, and of course even the small businessmen, because we believe that the problem, our proposal of wealth tax for the very rich is basically to improve the business climate for the micro and the small scale businesses. Kung pagka tinapyas mo yung kanilang tubo, tinapyas mo yung capacity nila to monopolize, then you increase the capacity of businesses, small businesses to thrive. And we need that, considering that 99% of the enterprises in the Philippines belong to this SMSE, the micro and medium scale industries, and more than 66% of them ang employment ay 66% ng ating total employment ay hawak nito mga maliliit na kumpanya.
So Sunny, you are going to focus on sectors that will deliver votes, or are you also looking at certain regions, certain provinces that you will get those votes from?
It's all included sectors, and then of course we go to regions and provinces. That's why we have been in existence as a social movement, people's organization, for a long time. So we have chapters, we have organizations, we have base. So we are going to use that base in Cebu, in Mindanao, in Davao, in Negros, in Iloilo, in Central Luzon, and everywhere we have managed to form a base, and then including the alliances with the Greens and alliances with other social movements. And I think together, if we really put our you know, efforts together, I think there is a good chance that we will make it.
All right. Over to you, Mimo. Clear path to the presidency. How is that going to look like for Senator Manny Pacquiao?
Well, as far as his objective should be, is to show the DNE that he has a solution to their problems. And what he has to show ABC is that he is capable of implementing that solution. So that should be the direction that we need to move forward with.
What about regions, provinces? Are you confident now that you have certain provinces that will solidly vote for the senator?
Well, traditionally, Romney has been besides Mindanao, but then we've got some connections as well as our networks in the north and Metro Manila. So, but we, as Romney, are focused more on Visayas Mindanao. And they, the group of Manny, I mean, he's still the candidate of PDP Laban, so they have their organization in the north, although officially he's under Abag Romney. But there's a sort of a, you can't say coalition because there's a deadline for the coalition. So it's an alliance between several parties. And so everybody's working together.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Mimo Osmeña there of PROMDIN. Also, Sunny Melencio of Partido Lakas ng Masa. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate the talk. Thanks again. You take care and you keep safe. Right, we'll be talking to more officials of the camps of other presidential candidates in the succeeding weeks on In Focus. And before we go, today marks the 12th anniversary of the deadly Maguindanao massacre. Let's get an update now on how groups are commemorating one of the darkest days in Philippine history. Our very own Mike Navallo now joins us on the line for details. Mike, over to you.
I mean, 12 years since the gruesome Maguindanao massacre, the family of Reynaldo Bebot Momay continues to seek justice. Momay was a photojournalist for Tacorong-based Midland Review, believed to be the 58th victim, but his body was never found. Her daughter spoke today at a press conference, and she said she is still feeling the loss, and she doesn't even know where to start, not knowing whether her father is still alive or dead. Momay was last seen with a convoy that included 32 journalists, the wife and relatives of then-gubernatorial candidate Ismael Mangudadato, and some supporters who were stopped by a group of armed men were on their way to filing Mangudadato's certificate of candidacy. Mangudadato's rival, Dato Andal Ampatuan Jr., alias Unsay, led the group to a hillside in Ampatuan Town in Maguindanao, where they were shot to death multiple times, their bodies buried on a pit, along with the vehicles they were riding in. It was the worst election-related violence in recent Philippine history, and the Committee to Protect Journalists called it the single deadliest event for journalists around the world. The primary suspects were key members of the powerful Ampatuan clan who lorded over Maguindanao local politics. Mangudadato, once an ally, was seen as a threat. In December 2019, a little over 10 years after the killings, Quezon City Court convicted 5 of 7 Ampatuans, and they were also adjudged guilty of 57 counts of murder, but acquitted all of the accused for the 58th count involving Momay. Since only Momay's dentures were found in the crime scene, the court said it was not established that he was killed. Momay's lawyers from Center Law have appealed the ruling with the Court of Appeals. Center Law Deputy Executive Director Gilbert Andres explained that while a witness saw Momay as part of the convoy, there was no witness identifying him at the crime scene. He suggested it is time for the Philippine legal community to look into changes in our laws and jurisprudence when it comes to proving deaths, even with the absence of a cadaver. But for former presidential spokesperson Harry Roque, who actively handled the case prior to serving in government, Judge Jocelyn Solis-Reyes erred in dismissing the 58th case. He insisted there is nothing in the rules and evidence that requires the presence of the body or the cadaver, and that there were enough circumstances to show Momay was included among those killed. At the very least, Roque said the judge should have considered the civil aspect of the case and awarded damages. But for Castillo, the case is not about money, but about justice. Castillo lost her mother while waiting for justice. She said she hopes to be alive to see justice finally for her father. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Mike Navallo, there joining us on the line. Take care, Mike. Keep safe. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.